Hello, I am Michonne Neal, and this is the very first podcast for Integrated Now Monogamy. And the Integrated Now Monogamy is a course available through the Metanoic Portal. It is also a space that I offer within the Metanoic Portal where we can talk about all things non-monogamy and the actual ethics that extend far, far beyond just who you want to fuck or date. So I wanted to start off this session with How to Be a Game Changer. It's a very popular book out in the non-monogamous community, literally called The Game Changer. And, well, it was the start of a lot of questions for me regarding how people view non-monogamy, and just it was worlds different from my experience. And so it was part of, well, it came after the creation of what I called once upon a time intersectional non-monogamy, and which eventually became integrated non-monogamy. And well, so I'll just read this bit to you, and hopefully you'll get kind of a sense of why I believe that that integrated non-monogamy and intersectional non-monogamy is so important and vital if this is supposed to be, you know, a lifestyle or a love style that is quote-unquote revolutionary. So people look to non-monogamy for freedom, freedom that the monogamous world rarely offers, yet there is such struggle for so many in the beginning. It was difficult for me to understand why this was at first. I had had no rocky transition into non-monogamy. I never struggled with jealousy. Hell, I've been writing about non-monogamy in all forms for nearly 20 years now, in variations that the polyamory community is only now realizing are even possible. But there still exists this darkness. There's this oppressive and smothering air that the polyamory community has yet to shake. And the deeper I've looked into the polyamorous community at large, the more disappointed I've become. These are supposed to be the vanguards of a more ethical way to conduct relationships, and yet they've barely shaken off the assumptions our cultures have left us with. They'll only go so far, and then they'll seek to normalize their experience rather than truly examine the precepts of their concepts. Why is it more normal to want to be normal and fit in, rather than wanting the freedom to actually and genuinely and fully be yourself? For those of us who tend to be the game changers by the very nature of our thoughts and very existence, what makes us that way? Why are so many polyamory people still struggling with issues that we've never had? And why are so many people still making it so much harder than it needs to be? My mounting disbelief and disgust weren't for the polyamory community, I finally realized. The rampant abuse, racism, and ignorance are not inherent to polyamory at all. You can read an article that I actually linked in this article, you know, for background on why I have been writing about romance abuse and non-monogamous unsatisfactory attempts to explain it away or actually deal with it. And that the name of that article is called 5 Common Ways Our Communities Fail to Address Intimate Partner Violence. And this is an article through Everyday Feminism, which I will talk about their failings at another time. It's a wonderful idea, but mostly what I found, especially, like I said, in any community, abuse is an ongoing issue. It's a problem. And so a lot of these places, even if they purport to, you know, live up to different ideals or do things better, they often don't. And so I'm always interested in exploring why. And so even though this is my first, you know, podcast, there will be many different ones, usually only available within the Metanoic Portal, to just go over all these different aspects of culture and society. Anyway, so Getting back to non-monogamy, and especially polyamory, those difficult first days, that seems so common. These difficult first days of disastrous relationships and these struggles with jealousy, they actually have nothing to do with polyamory or non-monogamy itself. And in fact, the whole idea of compersion speaks to how backwards our ideas of love have actually become. The community often has to spend so much time teaching people how to love in non-damaging ways. And we who are the game changers can often see the destructive ideas that hold others captive. I found myself wanting to leave the poly-A label behind because so much of the community is still barely one step out of monogamy. They tend to still treat their lovers and friends like shit. And they think they've actually learned something when they're finally comfortable with their partner's other partner. But see, they're only symptoms of a deeper cultural issue. And what most of these poly-A people are practicing is not, in fact, ethical non-monogamy at all. It's not intersectional. It doesn't challenge societal norms, and it doesn't extend past their polycule. And that is definitely, ethics is, it's not limited to how you treat one or two or several people. It's how you treat everyone that you come in contact with. Ethics schools extends to all of your relationships, because all of the relationships matter. So if the only ships you care about are the people that you personally chose to be in your polycule or to be in your circle of non-monogamy, it's a misnomer to call it ethical. You can call it consensual non-monogamy, because that's fine. There's no issue with that. But it's the ethical part that that always just really confused me when people used it, because it made no sense. I've actually studied ethics, and I've always been non-monogamous and polyamorous. So it just it was just one of those things. I'm like, okay, what are we really looking at here? I mean, and I bet you're wondering, all right, okay. So what are you really saying? What I'm saying is that after this move to more patriarchal inclined cultures, the notion of ownership seeped into every facet of our lives. I'm saying that even though many countries have outlawed slavery, owning your loved ones is still considered the norm. The concept of ownership is still so dreadfully common. It is the only instance in which it is considered okay and even laudable to exert control over another person's actions, behaviors, and feelings. Think about it. People are more likely to try to control their child's behavior than to teach them a better way in the long term. Parents are more likely to instill obedience as a virtue rather than integrity. And the biggest reason romance is such a turnoff for me is because it is the epitome of owning your partner. You're supposed to bind together, merge together for life. It's normal to sneak into your partner's phone to check up on them. It's considered normal to forbid them from having sex with other people or certain other people. It's considered normal to feel jealousy over them spending more time with their friends than with you. And this whole tradition of taking your spouse's name, it actually comes from a tradition of literally becoming their property. And this is why couple privilege is even a thing, because people think of themselves in units instead of as individuals. They no longer think of themselves or others as humans, first and foremost. Their partners are their property. Their children are their property. They force their loved ones to go to plays that they hate. They encourage them to lie if they look fat in a dress. And they tamp down on watching porn because their partner hates it. They control the other's finances, their travel, and their social interactions. One partner belittles and guilt trips the other, and the other partner withdraws and becomes passive-aggressive. Then they end up having these ridiculous fights because they live on top of each other constantly. And by trying to merge, they only end up brushing against the harsh edges of one another's realities. And when they finally tire of each other, they either divorce, have a child, or open up their marriage. Really toxic situations can end in death, infidelity, and other abusive, really destructive outcomes. This is how we all learn to live. People ignore the effects of owning your partner, and then they wonder where they went wrong. And then they try polyamory and wonder why they're having such a difficult time. They've never learned to be free. They've learned to treat themselves and others as emotional slaves. And I'll say it again, ownership is the norm. Is it any wonder then that abuse is still so widespread? 1 in 3 is not an anomaly for partner violence. It's a disgrace. These abusive ideals are embedded into our culture and thrust upon us all from such young ages, and many people never shake them off. No, not even polyamory will save you. So how do you confront this? How do you shake off the notions of ownership, metanormativity, heterosexism, ableism, and racism once and for all? How can your non-monogamy truly be transgressive of the norm? Well, what's the speed of ignorance, and how do we combat it? How do we move beyond this addiction to facts to shine light on the darkness beyond? How do you become a game changer? Okay, but what does this have to do with polyamory and ownership? Well, those of us who are game changers, we live on that liminal horizon between the known and the unknown. We are the ones who edge that light further into the shadows, expanding the realm of the known for everyone else. We're not smarter per se. It's not so much a matter of intelligence, at least not limited notions of it. It's more about knowing that the darkness is always just out of reach, and that the more we learn, the more we know, the greater the darkness gets. What we don't know will always surpass our knowledge. That is the very nature of the universe we live in. I was born existing on that horizon, and I live there. It is my home. I cannot help but to challenge what the light shows. It's why I'm too heavy for most people, and it's why I cannot let these poisons continue to eat away at polyamory and non-monogamy. So instead of paying lip service to ethics, metanoia, and growth, let's actually push the boundaries. We will forever be chasing the darkness. If you think you're okay, if you think you've discovered your one, if you think you found the answers, simply remember that the circumference of your light will always be less than the darkness that surrounds you. From the edge, you actually have a better vantage point of the knowledge and patterns within, as well as a front row seat of the newly discovered shapes being uncovered from the darkness. You can see the destructive waves coming before anyone else even feels them. And if you wish to navigate that darkness, then come along. After all, there is always more room here at the outer limits than inside the crowd. And so this is my first episode. You can let me know what you think and share it with people if you like. And if you'd like to learn more about intersectional non-monogamy, if you'd like to learn more about integrated non-monogamy, then feel free to pop on over to the Metanoic Portal or over to Integrated Non-Monogamy and sign up for the course or sign up for the space. If you sign up for the portal, you'll actually get access to a lot of my courses either for free or extremely discounted. The portal is subscription-based because, well, the expertise I have is incredibly unique. And as you might notice from this itself, and from if you're not quite convinced yet, then, you know, I'll definitely be doing more of these podcasts in the future, and we'll cover a number of different topics. And if there's anything you want to hear about in particular, feel free to send me those questions or anything. I will also take some time to introduce you to exactly who I am and, you know, I guess why this all matters to me and why I kind of have the view that I do. So thank you for joining me. Thank you for listening. It's definitely great to be doing this and working on a new project. I'm excited about it. And I really look forward to, to inviting you in and to having this discussion and to expanding, these ideas and the bounds of what is possible and what we can actually connect and do to really change the world into a better place. Like, transformation begins within, and relationships don't happen in a vacuum. Even your desires do not pop up in a vacuum. So that is definitely a discussion for another time. And for now, this is Michonne Neal signing off. Your gentleman goddess. Until the end. Thanks. So, if you like what you're hearing and want to directly support me, there are now subscription options, monthly subscription options. So, sign up. And if you do, you might just find yourself with access to the Metanoic portal for free. Hey, that sounds pretty sweet to me. So, go ahead, try it out.